Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Last week, I know a lot of us were away because it was a long weekend, but we began this journey on learning about supernatural healing together. We went to the very heart of God. We uncovered two things which are crucial in the healing journey. The first is this: God loves. God loves. We have to get this heart revelation of the love that God has for us. You see, His love for us should be the foundation of all things in our lives. His love, so deep, so real, that He did not even spare His one and only Son. He gave Him graciously. He gave Him intentionally. But not only that, we learned last week that He didn't just give Jesus, He gave all things. He gave us all things. If you weren't here last week, please listen to the podcast. Listen to the podcast because it's foundational. God gave all things, which includes from salvation to sozo. Sozo means wholeness in body and in mind and in spirit. To purpose. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Give you a hope and a future. Secondly, the second thing that we touched on last week that we uncovered was God is good. God is good. God loves and God is good. The goodness of God isn't just an idea. It's visible in Jesus. Everything that Jesus did and said revealed the heart of the Father. Every act of compassion, every healing, every word of grace we see from Jesus is a reflection of what Father looks like, is a reflection of the character of Father. You see, Jesus' primary reason for coming to earth was to reveal the Father, to reveal a good and a gracious and a compassionate and an almighty and a loving Father. So last week we touched on, firstly, God loves. Secondly, God is good. And it's from this heart revelation that of His love and His goodness that we come to this next revelation, which I want to unpack this week. And that is this: He is not the author of sickness. He's actually the restorer of wholeness. He's not the author of sickness. Healing isn't something we have to convince Him to do. It's something that flows. Healing is something that flows from who He is. It is simply the natural overflow of who He is. He wants to heal. He wants to. And I left the family hanging with this random thought. I said, go and think about it. Chew on this one. And this is that random thought. He desires healing even more passionately than we desire to receive it. I'm challenging thinking patterns right here. I'm actually challenging some theology that some of us have been believing up until now. I'm going to unpack that a little bit more next week. But I've titled this message for today, The God Who Desires to Heal. The God Who Desires to Heal. Are you ready? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you to help us get this revelation, this heart revelation of the goodness of God and the fact that He desires to heal. Help us. Give us eyes to hear. Give us a heart to receive. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Are you ready? Have you got your seatbelt on? All right, I want you to all hold your hand out like this. Everybody? All right, then I want you, at the count of three, I want you to do this. Don't do it now. Watch what I'm going to do. And put your hands on your left. One, two, three. You've just let go of the steering wheel. You're not driving this bus anymore, right? Holy Spirit is driving this bus. It's a joke. We can all laugh. There you go. All right. Okay. Matthew, got your Bibles? Get your Bibles out. We are going to go be digging deep into Scripture because you know what? I don't want to convince you that he's a healer. Because if I convince you he's a healer, then I've got to continuously convince you he's a healer. I want you to get the revelation yourself. I want Holy Spirit, that's been my prayer this whole week, that you will get the revelation that he is a healer and he desires to heal. So Matthew 8 verses 1, 2, 3. All right. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. That's important to note that. Large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, underline that. If you've got your Bible, underline that. If you are willing. Also circle the word if. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. Underline reached out, underline touched the man. And he says this, I am willing. Underline those words, I am willing. He said, this is Jesus saying, be clean. And immediately he was cleansed of leprosy. This moment here captures both the cry of the heart of humanity and it as well also reveals the revelation of God's heart. You see, the cry of humanity is this, if you are willing. Emphasis on the if you are willing, Lord. And the truth is this, that many believers carry this quiet uncertainty. Let's be real. We're allowed to be real. We carry this quiet uncertainty. God, I know you can heal because I've read about it and I've heard testimonies like what JJ just shared, but will you? Anybody ask those questions? Paulina has. A couple of us have. I know more have. Would you do it for me, Lord? You've done it for them. Would you do it for me? God, come and heal Johnny. Come and heal Johnny. If it is your will. It's how we pray as believers. But after today, I don't want us to ever ask that question again. Why? Because God's heart is revealed in the same text, in the same scripture, with three words. I am willing. I am willing. He could have just spoken it. I am willing. He could have just left it there because who knows when God speaks, things happen. When he says, let there be light, there is. That's massive. I don't know if you know that. And mass darkness covered the earth. And he said, let there be light. And there was. When he speaks, something happens. And right here, he has spoken three words. I am willing. But he doesn't stop there. He goes above and beyond. And in the scripture, we see that he reached out and he touched the man. You see, Jesus answers the question of humanity with three forever words. I am willing. That word willing is the Greek word thelo, which means I desire, which means I am ready, which means I delight. Jesus is saying, I am delighting in your healing. I am ready for your healing. I am willing for your healing to take place. He did not have this attitude of, huh, okay, if I really must. He did not say, oh, whoa, wait a minute, dude, you don't understand. Can you not see this large crowd around me? Everybody's demanding, and I am so busy at this point in time. Take a ticket. He did not say that. No. He actually stopped. He intentionally stopped. He wasn't reluctant in agreeing to the healing. He wasn't under peer pressure because there was a lot of people. No. He was delighting to do it. So much so, it was his desire to do it that he stops. In his movement, he stops. They're on a mission. They're going places. But he stops. And he reaches out and he touches. and speaks. Releasing the words that are forever out there. They are forever out there, church. I am willing. Why do you say forever out there, JJ? Because this is scripture, Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. I'm going to read it to you. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, we've just had a bit of rain today, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Verse 11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire, and it will achieve the purpose. I am willing. I desire healing. It's still out there, church. It is still out there at this very point and time. It is still achieving the purposes that God has. People, we need to grasp this, because many people believe in God's power, but they doubt in His willingness. Say, ouch. I mean, imagine a loving parent. Loving parent whose child is sick. The parent doesn't sit on the couch and just look at the child. The parent doesn't have to even be persuaded to care. There's something that compels that parent to act. What is that compels that parent? It's love and it's compassion. And folks, that's a picture of the Father, our Father God. This is how He feels towards you. He's not detached. He's not hesitant. No. He loves. He is good. He is moved towards you by His goodness and His love and His compassion. He's moved towards you. Whatever circumstance you have, He's moved towards you because He's a good, loving, compassionate Father. In Matthew, Jesus shows us this. Matthew 14, 14, when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion. Everybody say compassion. And guess what He did? He had compassion on them and healed their sick. That word compassion is this long Greek word, splachnisomai. Everybody say that, splachnisomai. Come and spit on your neighbor. This is your opportunity. Splachnisomai. Yeah, there you go. Some of you have got it. You know what splachnisomai means? It means to be moved in the deepest part of your being. Whoa, stop the lorry, people. Jesus is moved in the deepest inner part of His being. You're talking about God. He is moved by compassion. He had compassion. It doesn't say He was getting it. It says He had it. He had compassion on them. And out of that compassion, by moved on the innest part of His being, guess what He did? He healed their sick. You know what? God has already moved towards you in love and compassion. How? The cross. We've just celebrated what Jesus did for us. But He didn't just leave it there. He's now also spoken a word that is still out there, that is yet to return, and it won't return until it has accomplished what He sent it out. And those words are, I am willing. His heart for all is to be healed. Oh, I heard somebody say from the platform this morning, His heart is for all to be healed. You believe me? This side believes me. Does you believe me this side? Some of you do. And I know some of you are sitting there still going, yeah, give me some more, JJ. Oh, and I'm prepared. I knew you were going to ask that, so I'm prepared. So here's my second scripture. All right, get your Bibles out. All of you, get your Bibles out. Acts 10. 38. You have to see this yourself in the scriptures. Make sure that you write these scriptures down, that you go and read them again in this next week. All right. Acts, what did I say? 10:38. Here we go. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went around doing good and healing all. Circle that word, all. He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. First thing I want you to realize. He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Scripture that I haven't got up there that you can write down is 1 John 3:8, which gives you the reason why the Son of God came. I'll read it. Scripture. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Whoa. Get that? Swords. Sila. The reason why the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Let's go back to the scripture in Acts. He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. You see the same? But notice here, going back to Acts, God anointed Jesus. This is significant. Yes, God, Jesus was man, but Jesus was God and Jesus was man. But this is where we see the humanity side of Jesus. God anointed Jesus. And then he went around doing good and healing. A definition of anointing is this. God on flesh doing those things that flesh cannot do. Any believers in this house? Five of us. Let me start again. Any believers in this house? The anointing of God is upon you. Hold on. Let me put that in these terms. God is upon you so that you can do things that you can't do in your own strength. God anointed Jesus. God anoints you. Anointed Jesus. Not Jesus. Anointed Jesus. Went around doing good and healing all. All. Everybody say all. Not some. Not the deserving. Not the perfect. Not the favorites. All. Healing is not an add-on, folks. It's not an add-on of Jesus' ministry. Healing is actually the manifestation of the Father's presence. We had healing down the front. The presence of the Father was in this place. The manifestation of the presence was happening right here down at the altars this morning. It's not an add-on. Also take note of this. Healing and good things, doing good, is in the same sentence. You see, Jesus didn't heal people to prove his divinity. Jesus was anointed as man so he could do good and heal people. For what reason? To reveal the heart of Father God. Father God wants to heal. Which brings me to my next main scripture that I want to highlight today. So turn with me to Luke, the book of Luke. Luke 7, verses 11 to 15. Luke 7, 11 to 15. This scripture reveals God's desire to see restoration. There's a word for some people here. You need restoration in your life. Be that relationship. I'm going to put it out there. There's somebody here you need restoration. There's more than one. You need restoration in your relationship. There's somebody here who needs restoration in your marriage. With your children. God's desire is to see restoration. It's part of healing. Let's go. Luke 7, 11. As he approached the town gate, a dead person, take note of this word, dead person, was being carried out. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Let me get to my scriptures here. The dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Okay, three things. Dead person, only son, widow. Important. Why is it important? Because this widow, whose husband has passed away, would have been looked after by the son. But now the son's also dead, so I don't have to unpack that. Okay? But listen to the next words. And a large crowd from the town was with her. Hold on, wait a minute. In the beginning, Jesus went to town and his disciples, and a large crowd went along with him. So we've got two large crowds, all right? What am I saying? There was a lot of people. Okay, let's just translate that. There was a lot of people. She had a large crowd. Jesus had a large crowd. There was a lot of people. When the Lord saw her, I just wondered, how did he see her amongst the crowd? How did he know that she was the mother? There would have been more than just one woman wailing at that point in time. Okay, that's a story for another day. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. That word there in some translations is translated compassion. Splachmitsumai. That word. And he said, don't cry. Verse 14, then he went up and touched the coffin. Some translations, the one up on the board there, is bier, not B-E-E-R. It sounds like B-E-E-R, but it's B-I-E-R, but it's pronounced bier as well, okay? I made sure of this, right? He touched the bier, and those carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. You think the crowd would have maybe freaked out a little? Yeah, I reckon. You know, he just continued the conversation where he ended off. I don't know. I wasn't there. But he started talking. And Jesus, this is interesting. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Interesting word choice. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Here's a word. Jesus restored what was stolen. Jesus restored what was stolen. Another thing I want you to note in the scripture is nobody here asked Jesus to come and do this miracle. It says the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, he was moved, splach nizomai. There was no prayer line, there was no request, there was no dingle-dangle music, there was no faith moment, it was just pure compassion. Then verse 14 is loaded. It's loaded. Turn with me to verse 14. Three things happen. He went up. He went. Secondly, he touched the bier. Thirdly, he said, he spoke. Young man, I say to you, get up. Three things that he did. He went up, he touched, he spoke. Similar to the guy that we read about in the beginning. Yes? Similar. You see, you got to get this. Because Jesus touching the bier is more than just passing detail. And as we read scripture, many times we just pass the detail. No. We've got to stop and look at the context. Because this is actually a revelation. It's a revelation of God's divine compassion. It's a revelation of God's goodness breaking every human boundary that there is. You see, the bier is this open wood stretcher. It's not a closed coffin. Some of the translations talk about a coffin. No. It was an open. You could actually see the body wrapped up, lying on the stretcher. And what does he do? Is he checks this out and he sees this person is dead. Scripture said, I didn't say it. Scripture said that this person was dead. Correct? But Jesus goes up and he touches it. This is a big no-no in Jewish culture. You see, because according to Jewish law, touching anything associated with death made that person ceremonially unclean. But God, he intentionally moves towards, reaches out intentionally and touches at that moment. Guess what happens? Purity meets impurity. Life meets death. Light pushes the darkness back and life is released. You see, everything unclean heals to the greater power of the anointing of God's presence on your life. Another God is good news flash is this. And somebody has to hear this in this place today. God does not hold back his power or his compassion because of human uncleanness. That is a lie from the pit of hell. He will not withhold his healing from you or from anybody because of your uncleanness. JJ, what do you mean by uncleanness? Let me give you some examples. Could be like the man who's sitting in this place who feels too stained by sin to lift his hands in worship. Could be the woman who came with the weight of shame after failure or abuse. It could be like the believer who's battling depression and quietly wonders if their pain makes them less spiritual. Could be that person who's been carrying the sickness or a disease, or even that person who has been struggling with an addiction. It could be like the person sitting right here amongst us, feeling on the outer, feeling rejected, feeling overlooked, convinced that they are far too gone to be used by God or to be part of a church family. Could be like that person whose life has been marked by repeated failure or unfulfilled dreams and disappointments. Those people that have been carrying resentment and bitterness because of the past. It's like anything that we can think of that excludes us from his goodness. Anything that we can think of that whispers that you'll never be free. That's a lie from hell. You are a lost case. You'll never get anything in life. Had my own mother speak that over me. You won't become a vet. You're too stupid. Didn't become a vet. I became a pastor. Don't look after animals, I look after people. Animals, God cares about them, but he cares more about people. But you could have heard those words. You have no purpose in life. Who do you think you are? You're too big for your boots. Anybody heard that? Don't raise your hands. You need to hear me today. Jesus does not hold back his compassion because of your condition, because of your situation, because of what you've said or what you have not said. Jesus is not like that. Never once in the Bible do I read where Jesus said to somebody, "It's not your time." God wants to teach you a lesson. Get your life into order and then you can come back. I mean, even the church is known for doing that in the olden days. God, forgive us. God, forgive us. Never once in this Bible do I see that. Do I see, oh, you pushed the boundary too far. You'll never return. Rubbish. Prodigal son's story in the Bible tells me the different story. The father's waiting with his arms wide open. It puts another slant on this, that he is willing to heal you. And I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual. I'm talking about emotional. I'm talking about mental. And I'm talking about spiritual. You need to hear. Jesus does not hold back his compassion because of your condition. Right here, he steps up. He steps into a place everyone else avoids. The bier of brokenness. He lays his hands on the bier of brokenness. What's he doing right there? What's he doing in your life right there? He's meeting you at the reality of your circumstance. He's acknowledging where you are at. It's okay. It's okay. He reaches out and he touches. He lays his hands on. And then as if his touch is not even enough, he speaks. He speaks life. He releases hope. He releases newness. He says to this young man, I say to you, arise. One word from him, church, raises the dead places in your life back to life. And then those words come. Jesus gave him back to his mother. Jesus restored. That's a word for somebody. Jesus does not leave you where you're at. That's a lie from hell. Jesus meets you where you're at and he restores. God wants to give back to you what the enemy has tried to steal. God wants to give back to you what the enemy has tried to kill or destroy. That relationship, those dreams, the finances, the health, the hope, that bright future that you had. You thought it was gone forever, but guess what? He wants to heal it. He wants to restore it because one touch of Jesus shows his willingness, but the word of Jesus shows his power. The word of Jesus actually releases his power. It releases heaven on earth. You thought it was gone, but he wants to restore it. And together, his willingness and his power is unstoppable. Why? Because he brings heaven to earth. On earth, as it is in heaven. Man's dead on a stretcher. He reaches out, he touches. Then he brings heaven to earth. Young man, arise. And instantaneously, the young man gets up. Starts having a yawn. But he doesn't leave it hanging there. I see the picture. Mama's just fallen in the dust, emotionally wrecked. He takes son. Are you getting this? And he says to his mom, here's your son. That's the God we serve. That's the Father that loves us. He's saying to you today, arise, you are alive, arise, you are healed, arise, you are whole, arise, you are free. In Jesus' mighty name, I declare that this morning. When he reaches out, don't shrink back. He's not there to smack your hand. He's there to embrace you. He draws near to grab hold of you, to touch you. Don't doubt the words that he speaks to restore you. Realize this. Healing is something God wants, not something you have to convince him of. When you have this heart revelation, when it goes from here to here, everything shifts. You walk differently. You talk differently. You pray differently. You see differently. You have compassion differently. You mother differently. You father differently. You befriend differently. You husband differently. You wife differently. You're a different person. You're a different person. You're a different person. God wants to heal more than what we want to be healed. And I say this boldly, if the team can join me, that'll be great. I say this boldly because of 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. God's desire is to heal. It's to heal. It's not only part of his character. But out of that scripture, we can see it's woven into his redemptive plan. Let me read the scripture again. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Sickness is from hell. Disease is from hell. Addiction is from hell. Anything that is not loving is from hell. Anything that can steal, kill, or destroy comes from one person only, and that his name is Satan. That's his job description. But Jesus said, I come to give life, and that abundantly, that in more of an abundance. This is what we're talking about. He draws near. He stretches out. He touches. It's not only part of his character, it's part of his redemptive plan. So today I want to invite you. I want you to invite you to surrender if you're willing, Lord. I want you to rather embrace those words, I am willing. And I've written it here. I have not got it on the screen, but I wrote it here in capitals. I am. I am the great I am, he says. I wrote here, I am is willing. He is willing. He is more than willing. And maybe like the leper, you've prayed, Lord, Lord, if you're willing. Today the Lord wants to meet you in that place of uncertainty. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants to speak to that place of pain, to that place of disappointment and say, my daughter, my son, I am willing. Be clean. Be free. Be whole. Get up. Live. Live a life of abundance. Pick up those dreams that you've put on the shelf for so many years because you don't believe anymore. Believe in me because I am a restorer. Pick up those passions. I am the healer and I'm healing you emotionally and spiritually and mentally and physically because he's releasing wholeness upon his church. I declare that in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.